Today, we are wrapping up our series entitled Growth Track. Over the past couple of weeks, we've identified some of the primary markers, some of the recognizable attributes in the life of a disciple, things that are seen in God's Word. To begin with, we looked at the most foundational marker, the most important step of all, and that is you and I are called to know God. We're called to know Him. We have a knowable God that desires to be in a relationship with us. He doesn't just want us to know about Him, He wants us to know Him. And because of what Jesus did on our behalf, it's possible for us to walk in a personal relationship with God today. Last week, we talked about what it is to grow in that relationship. And we saw how our life was really designed to know God and to grow in our walk with God. And we saw how growing spiritually is really a key indicator that we truly know God. Today, we're going to unpack two more of those key markers that come as a result of growing spiritually. There are two things that God tells us should define who we are and how we live as a follower of Jesus Christ. He tells us to go and to sow. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." I want to make sure that you understand the context here, because you can't really understand the importance of this moment until you understand the setting. At this point, Jesus had been crucified on a Roman cross. He had been tortured, persecuted, and hung on that tree until he finally spoke his final words and breathed his last breath on the cross. They then pierced his side with a spear, and the Bible says that blood and water flowed from his dead body. They wrapped his body in cloth, and then they placed him in a borrowed tomb that was guarded day and night by Roman soldiers. But despite the night watch and despite the doubters, Jesus rose from the grave on the third day and then started appearing to people all over the place. Over the course of 40 days, resurrected Jesus appeared to over 500 people, people that had watched him die, but now they were witnessing him alive. But this, what we just read, was the last conversation that he would have with his disciples. This was their final mission. This was their most important moment. And so go back to Matthew chapter 28, and let's read it one more time. It says, "Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age.'" This was Jesus's great commission to his followers. It applied to them in that day, and it applies to us in this day. Mark it down. If you're a true disciple of Jesus, the Great Commission should be your primary mission. Jesus made this very clear. He said to all of his disciples, "I want you to go." I want to point something out regarding these instructions, though. He wasn't saying plan a trip once a year and go on mission. He didn't tell us to go as an event. He wasn't saying make me a periodic priority or go give some occasional ministry effort. In fact, many scholars look at this verse and they translate that word go to mean as you go or when you go, which tells us that Jesus fully expects his disciples to make this commission a part of their normal agenda. He expects his mission and building his kingdom to be a priority of every church and every Christian. He says, as you go, so. When you go, so. That word so, it's an agricultural term that we see all throughout the Bible. In fact, in Galatians 6:7, it says, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap." That was common language in biblical times. It was an understandable word picture that showed that you will ultimately reap what you sow. There are many agricultural analogies seen throughout Scripture, and we see that especially expressed in how God spoke to Israel in the Old Testament. Israel's existence was dependent on the soil. When it rains in the Holy Land, even today, all of Israel stops and they look up to the sky and they celebrate and they call the rain a blessing from God. Now, when it rains, I'm going to be honest with you. For Americans, it's very frustrating. When you've flown halfway around the world to visit Israel, and you're thinking, man, I wish the weather was 75 and sunny while we were here on the Sea of Galilee. But our friends in the Holy Land, when it rains, it doesn't matter what you think as an American. They're going to look to the sky and they're going to praise God and they're going to call it a blessing from above. Agriculture is a big deal in the desert. Remember when Israel was liberated from Egypt? And they finally entered the land that God had promised Father Abraham. Do you remember how that land was described in Exodus chapter 3, verse 8? It was described as a land flowing with milk and honey. Agriculture wasn't just a way of life for the people of Israel. It was a reminder of God's covenant. It was a reminder of God's provision. It was a reminder of God's blessings. In the New Testament, Jesus used agricultural imagery as well. He talked about abiding in him. Remember? In John chapter 15, Jesus called himself the true vine. And he said, man, if we truly want to live and if we truly want to grow, then we've got to stay connected to him. Other New Testament writers used agricultural metaphors as well. One example is how the writers explained and described the successful Christian life. In Galatians chapter 5 or John chapter 8 or Matthew chapter 21, we read that the life of a true disciple is one that what? Bears fruit. Our life should bear fruit. In Psalm chapter 80, Israel was called a vine. In Isaiah chapter 5, Israel was called a vineyard. The agricultural language was common in biblical days. And today, Jesus is using that language with us. And he's saying, as you go, or when you go, sow seeds. The Great Commission isn't a suggestion. The Great Commission is a command. And yet so many self-proclaiming Christians would have to admit that sowing gospel seed has never been a part of their everyday life. According to Lifeway Research, over 60% of church members have not shared the gospel with anyone in the past 6 months. Barna Research recently conducted another survey that indicated that 51% of Christians don't even know what the Great Commission is. Facts are facts. And it tells us that most Christians don't share the gospel. Most of us aren't sowing seed of hope as we go. And that disobedience didn't start in our generation. That disobedience goes all the way back to the very beginning. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, Jesus plainly told his disciples, he said, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Man, I can just imagine Jesus at this particular time, walking around the Sea of Galilee with his heart filled with compassion for the people. He was encountering so many broken people in the surrounding villages. And in this moment, Jesus was realizing his human limitations. And he was recognizing that with only 12 guys, the task ahead was going to have to be supernatural. And it was going to have to require 100% commitment from each of his disciples. He was saying two things in this passage. The first thing is there's a huge need. He said, the harvest is abundant. When you look that up in the original language, that phrase literally means the harvest is huge. It's huge. And yet Jesus goes on to say, and there aren't enough people to meet the need. He said, yes, the harvest is huge, but the workers are few. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus promised his disciples that he would make them fishers of men. That verse says, follow me, he told them, and I will make you fish for people. Jesus said, you will fish for people. You will make disciples. You will go. You will sow. But up to this point, Jesus had done all the fishing by himself. That season was now officially over. And in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was beginning the process of fulfilling that promise. And notice, he did so by getting his disciples involved in two different ways. The first way, Jesus told them to pray for the workers to be sent out. Did you see that? He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. The Lord of the harvest here in verse 38 is referring to God. And Jesus was telling them, pray to God that workers would be sent. But then notice the second thing he did. Second thing, Jesus commissioned them to become the workers they were praying for. Do you get that? Jesus was saying, don't just pray for more missionaries. Be a missionary. Live on mission. Do what I've commissioned you to do, and sow as you go. Last week, we officially launched Mission 423, our brand new local mission effort that is designed to meet our city at its points of need and to share the hope of Jesus with our community. And as we've launched this new ministry, you've probably heard us say, pray for these ministry efforts. You've heard us say, support these ministry efforts. But for some of you today, the Lord is telling you, be a part of these ministry efforts. He's saying, get your hands dirty for my kingdom. Invest what I've blessed you with. Get on the front lines of where I'm working. And trust me with the results. Listen, God doesn't just call us to pray for sowers or to support sowers. God fully expects us to be sowers. Maybe you're hearing that today. And as a result, you feel completely inadequate. Man, I get that. You're thinking, I'm not a preacher. I'm not qualified or equipped to share the gospel. I don't have the gifts or the personality that's required to be a sower in today's world. You're thinking, what can I really do as a disciple of Jesus to sow seed or to make a difference? I read a passage of scripture this week that reminded me that to God, there is no such thing as an insignificant seed that is sown. There's no such thing. In Mark chapter 4, verse 31, it says, it's like a mustard seed that when sown upon the soil is the smallest of all the seeds on the ground. And when sown, it comes up and grows taller than all the garden plants and produces large branches so that the birds of the sky can nest in its shade. Think about that today. The mustard seed was one of the smallest seeds in that day. And yet Jesus says small seeds can lead to significant things. You say, I'll never preach the gospel in a stadium filled with people. Hey, maybe that's true. But are you able to encourage somebody that's discouraged today? Are you able to pray for someone that has a need? Are you able to give in faith? Are you able to read God's word and share what you read with somebody else in person or online? Are you able to speak a kind word or to demonstrate love to somebody that's down and out? You say, man, those things aren't big at all. Listen to me. God never said that he would only bless big things. You know what God blesses? God blesses obedience. And when you go and when you sow, your obedience to God will lead to blessings from God. Charles Stanley puts it this way. He said, we cannot sow crabgrass and expect to reap pineapples. We cannot sow disobedience to God and expect to reap his blessings. What we sow, we reap. When you sow seeds of obedience, God blesses that obedience with blessings. And what we've seen throughout God's word is that small seeds sown by man can lead to mountaintop moments with God. We are called by God to sow seeds, big seeds and small seeds. And the truth is, we may or may not ever experience the harvest. We may never know how God uses or blesses our faithfulness along the way. But you know what? That's not our job. Our job is to obey God. And our job is to leave all the consequences and all the results to him. We may not be able to see around the corner. We may not be able to see how our faithfulness affects the future. But you know what? God certainly does. Long ago, I heard somebody say, you can count the seeds in an apple, but only God knows how many apples are in a single seed. When you sow, as you go, you never really know how God is going to use that act of obedience. I think about all the people in my past who have sown seeds into my life. I mean, from the time I was born, God people, Jesus lovers, true disciples have encouraged me and equipped me and demonstrated what it looks like to love Jesus and to follow him. And looking back, most of those people probably thought at one point or another, this kid is a waste of my time. This kid will never amount to anything. But thank God they were faithful and obedient and scattered those seeds into my life, because I probably wouldn't be here right now if they hadn't. And in many ways, I am where I am today because of those who taught me in Sunday school, or those who confronted me with the truth, or those who redirected me back to Jesus when I started to stray as a young man. You and I are most likely the product of the people who have sown seeds into our lives, both good seeds and bad seeds. And that's why it's so important that we sow the right seeds in this life, because the Bible says, what we sow, we reap. When you look closely, the Bible gives us some great insight on how we should go and how we should sow. It says, number one, we should go and sow with love. In fact, look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 real quick. He says, dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. If you're hearing this message today and you're thinking, I have to share the gospel? Oh man, I'm gonna do it, okay. You told me to, God. I guess I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it out of obligation. I don't really want to, but I'm gonna do it. Listen, if that's you today, you're missing it. You're missing it. Going and sowing done in the flesh or as a result of religious legalism, that's definitely not what Jesus had in mind when he spoke the words of the Great Commission. This is what it should look like. Are you ready? We should want to share the truth of the gospel because we love God. And because we love God, we should love people. And we should love people because we know that Jesus loves people and he died for their sins just like he died for our sins. Do we get that today? God's love for us should compel us to love others. And out of that love should come obedience to doing what Jesus commanded us to do. We should go and sow with love. But also, real quick, I want you to see, we should go and sow with trust. With trust. I was talking to a pastor just a few weeks ago, and he said this to me. He said, Jordan, I avoid personal evangelism when I'm talking to somebody that I don't know. I was like, what? He said, yeah, because I'm afraid that they're gonna get saved and there won't be anybody there to walk with them and to disciple them. Man, when he said that, I said, what in the world are you talking about? I mean, what if Paul had that same mindset? What if the disciples thought that way? Listen, at some point, you've got to trust the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit. And you've got to realize that your job, according to Jesus, is to share the gospel, to scatter seeds, and then our calling is to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with the results. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Like Paul, your job may just be to plant a seed. Perhaps God is going to bring someone else along the path to water that seed. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're the sower, if you're the planter, if you're the waterer. Listen to me. Only God can make something grow. Only God can bring something to life. You and I can't save anybody. People say that kind of stuff to me all the time. They're like, Pastor, thank you so much for saving my son or daughter. I'm like, me? I didn't save anybody. Listen, if we're counting on me to save people, we're all in big trouble. If you're taking notes, I want you to get this today. You ready for me? Three words. Only Jesus saves. You gotta get this today. Only Jesus saves. But it's our job, according to Jesus, to go and to sow and to point people to our supernatural Savior. Listen, God can't multiply or grow a seed that you refuse to throw. He can't do it. And we can't expect a harvest, and we can't expect salvation, and we can't expect life change to happen. We can't expect revival or reconciliation or recovery or revitalization if we aren't willing to revisit and obey the last command that Jesus ever gave us on planet Earth. And then trust God with the results. You know what he said? He said, the harvest is plenty. The harvest is huge, but the workers are few. So believers, I've got a question for you today. Will you go? And will you sow? That's what Jesus commissioned us to do. The question is, are we going to be obedient? You know what? God blesses obedience. And my prayer is that God would see us in our obedience today, and he would bless that obedience in ways that you can't even think or imagine. Can we just pray together? In fact, why don't you just bow your head and pray with me? Would you do that? Lord, right now, I pray for those who are reading these words out of your word, and you're speaking to their hearts about getting uncomfortable with the gospel. You're speaking to their hearts about obeying this commission that you've given us to do as believers. And God, even thinking about opening up our mouth and talking to somebody about the hope that we have because of what you've done in our life, it terrifies us. And God, I pray that right now we can recognize that fear in our heart comes from the devil himself, because he wants us to live in disobedience. He wants us to live far from obeying the commission that you've given us in our life. And so God, as we recognize that the devil hates when we're obedient to your commands, God, I pray that that will motivate us in our obedience. It will motivate us to do exactly what you've called us to do, and then to trust you with the results. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for including us in your commission to redeem this broken world. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I'm speaking a lot to believers today about our faithfulness to go and to sow. But I may be speaking to someone here today that says, you know what? I've never been saved. I don't have a relationship with Jesus the way that you're talking about. I missed step one, which is to know God. And that's why I haven't grown in a relationship with him. And that's why I'm not obedient to go and sow. Let's go back to first step, knowing God. If you say, man, I want to know God today in a personal way, in a saving way. I want to turn away from my sin and trust him as my Lord and Savior. Man, if that's you today, I just encourage you to trust him as your Lord and Savior right now. In fact, why don't you just close your eyes and say to him, Jesus, I want to be saved, and I want you to save me. I know that I can't save myself, and I need you, fully God and fully man, to step out of heaven and step into my life. Jesus, right now, I'm asking you to be my Lord and Savior and to give me a hope I've never had, a future I've never had. I'm so excited about being a child of God, and I thank you for loving me so much that you came to save me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, I believe if you just prayed that prayer, you have just begun a new relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you just did that, we want to celebrate your decision. And so I encourage you to follow the prompts at the bottom of this screen and to text the word SAVE to the number 74784. And when you do that, I'm going to send you a special gift, a copy of God's word and some other resources as you begin your journey with Jesus. Our church wants to celebrate your decision, so don't hesitate in letting us know. We want to give you a virtual high five and hug you across the screen and just celebrate what God has just done in your life. So once again, if that's you and you just prayed that prayer and meant it with all your heart, man, pick up the phone and send us that text. We cannot wait to connect with you and to celebrate what only God has done in your life. Only Jesus saved. And if he just saved you, we want to celebrate that today. God bless you guys. Have an incredible weekend.